Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's the 22nd of July, 2021, and we have a great show for you today with our good friend Pat Rickards, always from the Driving Force Institute, that great social studies platform, but he's now wearing another hat as well, if I may. He's a VP over at Coker University in South Carolina, which is a wonderful college, okay, gearing itself and already geared to the success of first-generation college students, specifically among others. All right, so we're going to have a nice conversation about equity and access, okay, to higher education and how Coker works with their brand-new vice president, my good friend, Pat Rickards. And we're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. That's our consortium for equity over there, and we have all our podcasts over there, as well as our magazine, which is Equity and Access Pre-K-12. It's an online journal. You'll really enjoy it. Go over, see what we're doing. Join with us about Equity Pre-K-12 at ace-ed.org. Okay, it's all good stuff. Without further ado, let me bring on the one and only Pat Rickards. Hi, Pat. Are you down there full-time yet?
I am. How are you doing, Larry? It's good to talk to you again.
As a matter of fact. Yeah, it's good to hear your voice as well. Thank you. Things are fine up here in Maine, a long way from South Carolina. Beautiful weather, et cetera. How hot is it down there? What is it, Hartsville? Is that where you are?
Yeah, Hartsville. It'll be in the mid-90s, but it's all good.
Absolutely, it's all good. It's humid down there, but you can beat a swamp fox, Francis Marion.
Exactly.
Okay? Yeah, and also, Mr. History, I remind everybody that the American Revolution actually started. Actually, South Carolina started the Civil War, okay, with Fort Sumter, and they also started the American Revolution by throwing the British out of the harbor on July 2nd, 1776. You knew that, didn't you, Pat? That's a riot.
I did. I love when you use everything as a teaching moment, Larry. It makes my heart all warm.
Yeah, you know, it's good. You live in such a cool place in Charleston. How far are you from Charleston?
We're about 2 hours.
Easy drive.
Exactly.
Good city. Yeah, and it's all good. So do you want to talk a little bit about Driving Force, or you want to go right into Coker?
Let's talk about Coker. I think this is
you
an exciting story,
right,
particularly with everything we've been dealing with as a nation.
Yeah, you got it. So let's talk about this. Tell everybody, and it's Coker, C-O-K-E-R, coker.edu, if you want to check this out. Can I say that the college is gearing itself towards first-gen students? Is that a good way to say it?
Very much so, very much so. I mean, Coker has been around, we were founded in 1908, originally founded as a women's college and operated as a women's college for more than 60 years. It's really been about, providing an education to populations that, previously just weren't able to access it. And I think over the years we've been able to adapt and really make sure that we're providing the post-secondary education that we all know is necessary to those who need it. And so, you look at Coker today, we're 60% of our student population is female, 50% of our students are people of color. A third of our students are African American. We've really made an effort as we're looking ahead and seeing what the future of Coker has as we look to continue to transform and improve, is how we can rise to the occasion and make sure that first generation students, both here in South Carolina as well as across the Southeast and around the nation, have a chance to come here and experience the learning that our graduates have been so proud of for more than 100 years.
And we're going to talk about the programs, et cetera, and I want to talk about the admissions process as well. But I'm going to ask you the most important question from my point of view about Coker University. How's the food in the cafeteria?
Oh, of course it's good. I mean, it's one of the things that I discovered down here is you have fried chicken on Wednesdays, which is something that everybody's always looking to get. It's an experience unlike what I've had at some other colleges.
Yes. Wow, I love it. Okay, I'll be down there. Okay, I'm a fried chicken freak. I love that stuff, man. Okay, and that you just nailed it right there. Okay, it's terrific. And I bet the kids have a great time. Do most of the kids live on campus, or is it a more commuter What's going on with that?
No, the majority of our students live on campus. I mean, obviously, you know, the last year and a half has been tough. We've had to all navigate COVID and the restrictions that come, particularly in running a college campus when you have students who are in relative close proximity are having to close down classes and move virtual and then move hybrid and those sorts of things. But, you know, we're fortunate in that, the majority of our students are also Division II athletes. We have a very close campus community. We are very much, it sounds corny sometimes, but we've got 1,000 students on campus and we are very much a family. And so, that allows even those who live off campus don't live very far off campus.
Doesn't sound corny at all. My son played Division II in Massachusetts. He played football at Bentley University, Okay, so Division II is great sports. I do love it down there. Okay, it's good stuff. You guys field what teams? I'll just ask this real quick so people can understand this. What teams do you field? Is it football? Is it the usual football, field hockey, whatever?
Yeah. We have 22 sports. We do not have a football program.
We have 22 sports.
We've got tremendous programs. In fact, our women's field hockey team just won the conference championship back in the spring.
Congrats.
We've added new sports recently. And the field hockey program, it's one of those fantastic stories. Field hockey was the very first sport we ever offered here when we were a women's college. And then for many decades, the sport went dormant. And so 4 years ago, we brought it back and won a conference championship this year. And so we're also looking, we've added a tumbling and acrobatics team that will be competing in the NCAAs. We've got an esports program where we have scholarship students that are coming to do online gaming. And they put together a terrific team in the last couple of years. It's a wonderful program, and I think it provides a nice balance when you look at student athletes. Our student athletes are just as invested in what happens in the classroom. Yesterday, I was talking with our student government president, who is one of the brightest young people that I've met in a long, long time. And he's a biology major. He's been interning for the State Department of Health this summer as they're dealing with COVID. And in addition to being SGA president and working in groups like Enactus, looking at future business leaders and those sorts of things, he also runs track. Those are the sorts of students that we have at Coker.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's a nice picture. That's a nice picture of a Coker student, I got to tell you. 1,000 kids go there. And I want to ask you this. I want to swing into this. What first-gen, and you and I have talked about this on other occasions, for first-generation college students, it's so important that the college give them a lot more than a typical big university might because it's just too big. Talk about the whole idea of college, a college set up for first-generation college students. There's got to be a setup for them. It's easy to say. It's harder to do. Talk about it.
It is. I think we are in the process, really, of ensuring that we are providing, a gold star experience for our students from the very first time they start going online looking for colleges to when they graduate and are starting those first jobs. And so, we spend a lot of time talking with students, really engaging with them to make sure that Coker is the right fit. As you've noted, we are a small school, and there are some folks that, you come to college and you want that experience of having 40,000 people on a campus. That's not us.
It's hard.
We're in the middle now, and we won't have students moving into campus. Move-in day will be the middle of August. But we've begun things like orientation. We've been bringing groups together, including first-generation students as they're coming for the first time. Informing them throughout the summer, this is what to expect, signing them success coaches. So they have those even before they arrive on campus, they have people that they can ask the questions of, making sure that, once they are here that, we're connecting them in ways where they are, making those relationships, that it's not just handing them a schedule and saying, go forth, go to your classes and we'll see you in 4 or 5 years. We're heavily invested in making sure we have programs like TRIO on campus and supporting students through our TRIO programs, offering tutoring programs to other students so they have those supports, providing mentors, really developing the student through all sorts of different places so that they are feeling part of this community. And I think over
they
the last 2 years, that's been really important. But I think just as important, Larry, is, you know, recognizing that this might sound bad, but I think the era where we came to college because we simply wanted to be better educated and gain greater knowledge in the liberal studies is largely over. And so one of the things we've committed to, we announced a $5 million grant this spring to invest in a number of innovations on campus. And one of those is a career success center.
Yep.
So, you know, we are going to be opening that next month. And there it's, you know, working with students, not as they're finishing up their senior year, their fourth year of college, but beginning earlier on and connecting them to internships, helping them understand, you know, what are the sorts of courses that an employer in a certain field might be looking
exactly.
for? What is the background, the experiences they're looking for? And then helping them find those jobs.
Exactly.
You know, we're fortunate, you know, Hartsville, South Carolina is a small town. It is also the global headquarters for Sunoco products.
Get out. I didn't know that. Well,
so we have, you know, that relationship with a major employer. You know, we have, you know, a board member who is a Coker alum, you know, who heads Walmart's operations in Japan. So, you know, our alumni get around not just the country, but around the world. And so, you know, part of what we want to do is make sure that when, you know, even before a student comes and takes that tour, you know, after they've decided to apply here, that they feel like they are part of that Coker family. They realize how we're going to support each other, and then they understand what's going to happen during their entire tenure. That's, you know, we want to do that for all students, but it becomes particularly important for, you know, those first generation students who are making this investment. You know, unfortunately for too many students that were told in K-12 that they're not necessarily college material. We believe everybody can succeed in college with the right supports.
Everybody should be able to succeed in college with right everything, and that's why what you're doing is so important. And believe me, Pat, I know you understand this. And to go back what you said a few minutes ago, it would, in a perfect world, we could all walk around campus wearing togas and talking to Socrates and exploring the universe, okay? But it's a different world these days, and we have to prepare students to go into the world and be successful. And I want to make this point, too. That's also very hard for a first-generation college student. A lot of the kids will come from areas that might be poverty areas, lower socioeconomic, et cetera. Nobody went to college before. Nobody's wearing a white tie, per se, and going to work at a desk, okay? And I'm stereotyping there.
Mm-hmm.
My point is,
mm-hmm.
okay, that if you folks, okay, at Coker can give them a sense of, you can do this. There's a big, wide world out there, all right? It's going to make all the difference in the world to these kids, okay? All the difference in the world. And I want you to talk about admissions, okay? And I don't believe, if I read correctly, there's no application fee. Am I correct? Talk
mm-hmm.
to me about that.
Mm-hmm.
Go for that.
Well, I think, you know, we're really
which I love,
looking
by
to
the
make
way.
Sure – Yeah, I mean, I think it's a matter of really making ourselves accessible. I think, you know, we see students today, you know, you're trying to make these decisions, you're trying to figure out, you know, what's right. And I think, you know, we truly believe in the Coker experience. We believe that students are going to love coming here. And so we want to encourage as many as possible to look at this as an option. And I think, you know, we see today far too many students that, you know, will apply and will rave about the fact they've been accepted to 20, 30 colleges. And we recognize that's part of what happens. And so we really want folks to see, you know, Coker is one of those options, and believe that, you know, you come here, whether you're an athlete and you're working with our coaches, whether you're just, you know, a non-athletic student who's coming on campus with your family to take a look, you know, you take the tour, you understand our history, you know, you see what this environment is like. We believe that it's going to be attractive. We want to get folks to look at that as an option. You know, it really, I think, becomes, you know, seeing everything that is available to you. You know, I can tell you from my own experiences, it was way back when, far too many years ago, when I applied to colleges. You know, I largely made a decision based on how it felt when I set foot on campus that very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at some colleges that my parents were very keen on, and including my father's alma mater, And I just did not feel it when I set foot on campus. And, you know, I ended up going to the University of Virginia, and I knew the moment I set foot on grounds, that's where I was meant to be. And I think we see that here at Coker. You know, I just the other day I was in our athletic center working in the gym, and ran into a young woman.
Was that working in the gym or working out in the gym? There's a big difference.
Working out in the gym.
I congratulate you.
So I ran into a young woman and her family, and she was looking to transfer here. She's a basketball player. And you know, it was a great moment talking with her, talking with her family about not just how great it would be to have her on the women's basketball team, because it would. Our team is great. I've been in the gym with those young women, and they kick my butt every time. It's amazing what they do. But, you know, was talking to her and her family about how important it is not just to come to Coker to play, but what happens once she gets off the court and, you know, what it is we can teach her and the skills and knowledge she will leave Coker with and how we will help set her up for, you know, a career of her choice when she gets out of here. And I think it's those sorts of conversations where, you know, we can do, you know, have those conversations one-on-one or in small groups to really understand what it is a student and a student's family is looking for in a college and how we're going to meet that. You know, I'll be perfectly honest. I mean, Coker is not for everyone. I mean, everybody has to find that one piece about a college that's really going to work for them. But I do believe, you know, for those, you know, particularly for those that are, you know, wary about going away to college post-COVID, those who are concerned about being the first in their family to go off to college, we provide that sort of support and guidance to really make them as successful as possible.
It's scary, and I'll tell you something, that's so important for the parents to understand. You said that young lady was there with her parents, all right? And, you know, college costs money, all right, period. It's an investment, all right? And it's if you make a mistake on it, you know, it's kind of, if I may, it's kind of like buying a new car. If you don't like it, you're going to lose money the minute you drive it out of the showroom, all right? And it's the same thing here. You want to try to make the right decision from the get-go, all right? And you said it best. If college feels right, the place feels right, all right? And it looks like it would feel right. So that if you go to coker.edu, you see that, all right? It just feels and looks like a nice college, okay, where kids are going to wind up being successful on it. Okay, what majors do you have, Pat? What are the big majors?
I think it's really interesting when you look at that. You know, we have one of the top-rated criminology departments in the country. That is, as ratings about criminology undergraduate degrees come out, you know, Coker is always near the top. You know, we have a terrific STEM programs, particularly in biology. We have a great undergraduate business school, where we just brought in a new dean who's really looking to transform and make sure that we're focusing, you know, not just on the intellectual pieces, but, you know, the entrepreneurship and how you're preparing future business leaders. We have, you know, two alums from that program who recently opened their own axe-throwing establishment in town, which is already a success.
That's great.
And then we have the typical humanities and such as well. And, you know, we have a communications department that I enjoy simply because they're teaching the old school rhetoric, which is what I learned when I was an undergrad, but are also making the transformation to provide the modern, you know, communications and engagement skills that today's students are looking to attain. But I think what surprises some people is you look at a school like ours, we also have a school for the visual and performing arts. We have a terrific program run by a wonderful, you know, the dean is a wonderful dance professor. But we have majors in not just the fine arts, but we specifically in dance, in theater, in music. And, you know, that's one of those, I think it surprises people. You know of the conservatories and such, you know, up in the Northeast in New England, mm-hmm. your neck of the woods, you know of them out in California. But here, we have it. You know, you're looking for that small community where you have the theater spaces, you have the musicians. It's one of those – a couple of weeks ago, I was hanging out in the theater building, and there was a program where we've been bringing visiting professors from around the country to engage in activities. And so, you know, one of the things they were doing is they were actually working on a rock opera about Boris Yeltsin visiting Texas grocery store for the first time and, you know, looking at it as sort of the reason why communism fell in Russia. Those are not the sort of experiences you expect to have here, but those are the engagements that we do bring. I think it becomes very exciting. I look forward to you know, the future where we start building up our political science department even more than it is, and you know, really recognizing South Carolina now as the cradle of politics as we look at the 2024 elections. There's just so many opportunities at a place like this, and when you're small like we are, it provides you the chance, you know, to be nimble and to experiment and try new things.
That's right.
And develop those programs that students want.
You're a raptor, not a brontosaurus. You're a raptor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were the smart ones. Okay. And they became the birds, by the way. They're still around, I got to tell you. All right. What you're doing is great. And, you know, you wrote me something here that I just have to ask about, because this is, never knew this. You wrote me that South Carolina doesn't have any community colleges, which I did not know. Okay, is that still going on? And that must impact the way a small South Carolina school, but you guys accept students from all over the country, of course. But talk about that community college gig. Go ahead.
Sure. No, I think, you know, South Carolina is a state much, you know, Georgia is the same way, where they don't have the community colleges as many educators consider, but we have, you know, technical schools, you know, technical colleges that serve much of the same role, but don't necessarily fill, you know, some of the gaps that we see community colleges filling and such. And so, you know, we work very closely with the technical schools in our area, you know, really engaging with them in smart ways, coming up with partnership programs so that we can work together and making sure that, you know, not only are their students getting the degrees that they are looking for, but, you know, how can we then provide them those 2+2 opportunities? You know, how do we take the associate's degree they're getting at a nearby technical college and move them here so that they can then complete their bachelor's degree, hopefully in another 2 years. I think, you know, too often we see those articulation agreements where, you know, one comes from a community college and a four-year institution is going to make a student take 3 or 4 more years worth of college in order to get that bachelor's degree. We don't believe in that. We believe in getting folks the education that they deserve and really looking for new ways to do that. You know, it's the same way we just partnered with the Medical University of South Carolina for those students who want to be pharmacists so that you know, they are starting, they'll take classes here, and then they will move over to MUSC, which will be able to get them in some of those pharmacy classes, be able to get them in some of the jobs that we have here in South Carolina where there's much need to fill those pharmacist positions. You know, really,
that's everywhere, by the way. That's everywhere.
Our students in the state,
yeah. Yeah, it's everywhere. You know, we keep saying South Carolina, South Carolina. I want to make a point here. People can live on campus, obviously, at Coker. Again, they're gearing themselves for first-generation college students. But you guys are looking to not recruit, but accept students from all over the country, right?
Very much so, very much so. In fact, you know, it's interesting. We have a growing international student population. Right now, international students are about 5% of our population. You know, and so we're looking to address that. But I think we really do provide the opportunity for those outside. You know, it's one of those that, you know, we've been very aggressive in providing tuition discounts and providing financial opportunities for all of our students to come here so that I think it can often be scary when you see the rack rate for how much a college costs. And, you know, at the end of the day, the average student on Coker's campus is paying about half of what you might see as the rack rate. But I think, you know, you're right. We've broken down these geographic boundaries. I mean, we have a number of master's degree programs that we offer online so that, you know, those can be taken anywhere.
I didn't know that.
You know, we're exploring what undergraduate programs that we can offer online as well, you know, recognizing that, you know, in this new world, you know, folks are feeling more comfortable being at home. And I think it's interesting, Larry, if you go back, you know, the last time we saw higher education truly transform was when the Yale Report of 1828 was adopted. You know, that was the last time you truly saw, and that was, colleges, you know, we laugh at it now. Colleges and universities embracing the notion that we should teach the liberal arts. That was what the Yale Report was about. That's what we're facing now in higher education today again. Yeah. We're waiting for the Yale Report of 2021. It's not going to come from Yale. But that's the sort of thing we're looking for. Because I think
we want institutions like ours. 2021, okay? And you know what? Your point is well taken. Okay, and I hate to be rude or mean, but too many universities have had it, if I may, too easy for too long. You didn't say that, I did. okay? And they just meandered along, okay, charging what I consider to be exorbitant tuitions, okay, and not really helping their students like they should. And I've seen this right across the board, all right? And to me, the Raptors, i.e. Coker University, you can name your team that if you want. It would be good, all right? I'll tell you, this is the kind of place, all right, where kids will succeed, and it's small, and it's good, and you listen, and you can make changes as needed and give kids the opportunity. I sound like I'm doing a commercial for you. Give kids the opportunity, okay, to really succeed and do well in their life, all right? And this is key stuff, all right? And the more we get into this and the deal to really try to help first-generation kids from all over the country, be they Latino, African-American, whatever the case, female, whatever the case may be, all right? I think it's just great. And, you know, Pat, I know you just went down there, and I know things are looking good, but there, you know, it's a tough economic world out there, and colleges, I hate to say it, are businesses to a certain extent. Well, how's the future looking? Okay, talk about that. I mean, you're a private, non-denominational school. All right, you do a beautiful job. How's the future looking? And not only for you, but just in your thoughts in general.
Yeah, I think you're right, Larry. I mean, you look not just during COVID, but even pre-COVID, is, you know, you've seen, you know, far too many of these small non-denominational private colleges that have been forced to close for financial reasons. And you know, COVID only made the problems worse. And I think, you know, you know better than I do. In K-12, you have a significant number of school districts and schools and educators that, you know, continue to talk about, we can't wait to go back to the way things used to be once COVID's over. I think we know in K-12 that's not true, and we certainly know in higher education it's not true. I think, you know, this has forced those institutions, particularly those like ours, that, you know, not just want to survive but want to thrive in the future, we have to do things in different ways.
We don't want to go back to the way it was. Yeah.
I think, you know, financially, you know, you look at places, you know, we've got a lot of hard decisions we have to make. And, you know, we have to really look at what it is we want to be in the future, whether the programs we want to offer, what is it we want to be known for, which is one of the reasons we're, you know, really looking to focus on how we can better serve first-generation students. I think as part of that, when we look ahead, you know, you ask about what's the future of Coker. You know, I think it really is making sure that, you know, we're addressing those issues, and that really centers on the notion of knowing our students and understanding what they want. You know, making it so that we are an institution that is truly focused on the customer and recognizes that the customer is our student.
Thank you. That's exactly right.
When I first got here, I started asking students, you know, I was asking, you know, why did you come to Coker? And you get, you know, some of the typical, you know, you gave me a great scholarship, I wanted to play ball, you know, sort of the things you expect. And I had one of the students said to me, he said, you know, you're asking the wrong question. I said, okay, what's the correct question? And he said, you need to be asking us, why do we stay here?
I was just going to say that to you. I was going to say that exact thing to you. You asked the wrong question. It's not a question of coming. It's a question of staying. Okay? And that is a key. That's amazing. These kids and I think along the same line. I must be feeling younger than I actually am. Okay? Because I was going to say the exact same thing to you. It's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you something, Pat. One of the ways for anyone to survive economically, any, if I may, business, okay, is to find that niche, okay, where you are strong and to market to that, okay? And your niche that you guys are going after, and all the wonderful things you do to really help first-generation kids is going to make all the difference in the world to the continuing success and growth of the university. It's going to make you guys stand out.
I appreciate that, Larry. And that's what I'm hoping.
I mean,
you know, we are fortunate. We are in this terrific town of Hartsville that supports this institution and has for more than 100 years. You know, we have new leadership. We have our new president. She's been here a year. Can you imagine starting as a new university president in the middle of COVID? But you know, Dr. Natalie Harder came from South Louisiana Community College, where she completely overhauled their approach to higher education. She started here a year ago.
Bring her on
next time.
Bring her on next time.
We'd love to.
Yeah, please
do. We have a wonderful team in place. We have terrific faculty. We have terrific staff. I mean, the employees are there. And, you know, we have, you know, the students who, you know, want to tell us their stories and want to explain why they want to stay here. And so I think when you put all of that together, you know, you put together an institution that, you know, is willing to make some of the tough decisions now to be stronger in the future. It is my hope that, you know, Larry, in 3 or 4 years, we're going to get on this conversation again, and we're going to be able to talk about Coker as one of the true success stories in higher education.
Without question, it's going to be, and I hope it's sooner than 3 or 4 years. Okay, because, I mean, it's really, you guys really, you got your act together. It's really good stuff. So we're going to do more, Pat. This is really, I'm just thrilled that you're down there. They got to be thrilled as well, and I know you're so happy being there. And just on a more personal note, your kids lived in New Jersey their whole lives. How's South Carolina treating them?
Actually, you know, my kids were one of the major reasons we decided to make the change. They're loving it. It's one of those that it's taking them a little getting used to. They're both in high school this fall, but they've now had to learn that school starts in South Carolina on August 2nd.
In August? Yeah, exactly. What a killer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But
Hartsville High? Is that what it is?
They're going to be at West Florence High School.
Florence. Okay. Okay. I've been to Florence, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, how far is Florence from Hartsville? I should know that.
About
20
miles.
Oh, great. There's never going to be a snowstorm to have to harm the snow days. It's done.
Right. And for all of our friends who have driven down the 95 corridor from the Northeast to Florida, you will literally drive by my house.
Wow. There you go. Well, all I can do is wish you the best. You and I are going to stay in touch a lot. Excuse me, as you know. Okay, this is great. Good luck down there, my friend.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Larry.
Okay, next time you bring the president on with you. Okay, we'll set that up.
We'd love to be on. Yep.
Okay, consider it done. All right, you take care, Pat. Thank you so much, and good luck down there.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Buddy.
I appreciate it.
Oh, are you kidding? Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Pat Rickards, everybody, now the vice president down at Coker University. You want to check out a good school, coker.edu. And they are working hard to follow through, okay, on what we believe in so much is equity, access, and giving these first-generation kids, and any kid, by the way, who goes there, but a first-generation student, a welcoming experience and a good experience and hopefully a four-year experience. Okay, in higher ed. It's good stuff. We'll do more. I like this kind of thing. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thank you, Pat.